In the aftermath of Oppenheimer's encounter with Pash, Lansdale and Groves realized they had a serious problem on their hands. On September 12, 1943, Lansdale sat down with Robert for yet another long and frank conversation. Having read the transcript of Oppenheimer's interrogation, he was determined to get to the bottom of the alleged espionage approach. Surreptitiously, he, too, recorded the conversation. Lansdale began with an obvious attempt to flatter Oppenheimer. "I want to say this without any intent of flattery. You're probably the most intelligent man I ever met." He then confessed that he had not been entirely straight with him during their previous conversations, but now he wanted to be perfectly frank. Lansdale then explained that, "We have known since February that several people were transmitting information about this project to the Soviet government." He claimed that the Soviets knew the scale of the project, knew about the facilities at Los Alamos, Chicago, and Oak Ridge, and had a general sense of the project's timetable. Oppenheimer seemed genuinely shocked by this news. "I might say that I have not known that," he told Lansdale. "I knew of this one attempt to obtain information which was earlier, or I can't remember the date, though I've tried." The conversation soon turned to the role of the Communist Party, and both men agreed on having heard that it was party policy that anyone doing confidential war work should resign their party membership. Robert volunteered that his own brother, Frank, had severed his ties to the party. Moreover, 18 months before, when they had started work on the project, Robert said he had told Frank's wife, Jackie, that she should stop socializing with CP members. Whether they have, in fact, done that, I don't know. He confessed that it still worried him that his brother's friends were very left-wing, and I think it is not always necessary to call a unit meeting for it to be a pretty good contact. Lansdale in turn explained his approach to the whole problem of security. "You know as well as I do," Lansdale told Oppenheimer, "how difficult it is to prove communism. Besides, their goal was to build the gadget, and Lansdale suggested that a man's politics really didn't matter so long as he was contributing to the project. After all, everyone was risking their lives to get the job done, and we don't want to protect the thing, the project, to death." But if they thought a man was engaged in espionage, they had to make a decision on whether to prosecute him or just weed him out of the project. At this point, Lansdale brought up what Oppenheimer had told Pash about Eltington, and Oppenheimer once again said he didn't think it would be right to name the individual who had approached him. Lansdale pointed out that Oppenheimer had spoken of three persons on the project who had been contacted, and all three told this intermediary to go to hell in substance. Oppenheimer agreed. So Lansdale asked him how he could be sure that Eltington hadn't approached other scientists. "I don't," Oppenheimer replied. "I can't know that." He understood why Lansdale thought it important to discover the channel through which this initial approach had been made, but he still felt it would be wrong to involve these other people. "I hesitate to mention any more names because of the fact that the other names I have do not seem to be people who were guilty of anything. They are not people who are going to get tied up in it in any other way. That is, I have a feeling that this is an extremely erratic and unsystematic thing." He therefore felt justified in withholding the name of the intermediary because of a sense of duty. Changing direction, Lansdale asked Oppenheimer for the names of those individuals working on the project in Berkeley who he thought were party members or had once been party members. Oppenheimer named some names. He said he had learned on his last visit to Berkeley that both Rossi Lomanitz and Joe Weinberg were party members. He thought a secretary named Jane Muir was a member. At Los Alamos, he said, he knew that Charlotte Serber had at one time been a party member. As to his good friend Bob Serber, "I think it is possible, but I don't know." "How about Dave Hawkins?" Lansdale asked. "I don't think he was. I would not say so." "Now," said Lansdale, "have you yourself ever been a member of the Communist Party?"
"No," replied Oppenheimer.
"You've probably belonged to every front organization on the coast," Lansdale suggested.
"Just about," Oppenheimer replied casually.
"Would you in fact have considered yourself at one time a fellow traveler?"
"I think so," replied Oppenheimer.
"My association with these things was very brief and very intense." At a later point, Lansdale got Oppenheimer to explain why he might have gone through a relatively brief period of intense association with the party, yet never joined. Oppenheimer remarked that a lot of these people they had been discussing had joined the party out of a very deep sense of right and wrong. "Some of these people," Oppenheimer said, "have a very deep fervor. something akin to a religious commitment. "But I can't understand," interrupted Lansdale. "Here's the particular thing about it. They are not adhering to any constant ideals. They may be adhering to Marxism, but they follow the twistings and turnings of a line designed to assist the foreign policy of another country."
Oppenheimer agreed, saying, "This conviction makes it not only hysterical, I think absolutely unthinkable. My membership in the Communist Party."
Quite clearly, what he means here is that actually joining the Communist Party was for him unthinkable.
"At the period in which I was involved, there were so many positions in which I did fervently believe in correctments and aims of the party."
Lansdale: "Can I ask what period that was?"
Oppenheimer: "That was the time of the Spanish War, up to the Nazi-Soviet Pact."
Lansdale: "Up to the Pact? That is the time you broke, you might say?"
Oppenheimer: "I never broke. I never had anything to break. I gradually disappeared from one after another of the organizations."
When Lansdale once again pressed him for names, Oppenheimer replied, "I would regard it as a low trick to involve someone where I would bet dollars to donuts he wasn't involved." Lansdale ended the interview with a sigh and said, "Okay, sir." 2 days later, on September 14th, 1943, Groves and Lansdale had another conversation with Oppenheimer about Eltington. They were on a train ride between Cheyenne and Chicago, and Lansdale wrote up a memorandum of the conversation. Groves brought up the Eltington affair, but Oppenheimer said he would only name the intermediary if ordered to do so. A month later, Oppenheimer again refused to name the intermediary. But curiously, Groves accepted Robert's position. He attributed it to Oppenheimer's typical American schoolboy attitude that there is something wicked about telling on a friend. Pressed by the FBI for more information about the whole affair, Lansdale informed the Bureau that both he and Groves believe that Oppenheimer is telling the truth.